Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dadley boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett's look ahead to SmackDown tonight. The go-home show, of course, ahead of WrestleMania Backlash. And, of course, the 1 week you weren't here last week, Jimmy Uso's returned.
I couldn't believe it, man. I could not believe it. Like, what, have we put about 6 months working at this? Something like that? Jimmy Uso could be the guy. Every pay-per-view, you know, what about Jimmy Uso? You're thinking of how they're going to neutralize Jay, but nobody's thought about Jimmy. I take a random Friday off. Like, Cedric doesn't even want this role. Like, the last thing is, oh, Christ, Hamflett's off on a Friday. I'm going to have to talk about SmackDown. And then it's the 1 week. Yeah. I watched the results, like, flow through on Saturday morning, and I cannot believe what I'm reading, to the point where I actually thought to myself, I've taken the Friday off. I might just treat myself to no WWE this weekend. And I couldn't, as soon as I read that. I was immediately on to watch the actual episode because I needed to see it myself. And what's worst of all, Wilborn, is that after months of us coming up with something, let's be honest, fairly bargain bin, like he's going to run in to help Roman Reigns, he's just going to make a surprise appearance, whatever, whatever. It was pretty brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, show long angle was pretty awesome. I was genuinely quite surprised that they went to the trouble of actually, like, working to incorporate him into this Roman Reigns Jey Uso thing rather than just the generic Jimmy's here too, like, actually being forced. Like, I think some of the scripting can be a little bit condescending at times, but Jimmy, like, almost trying at first to get Jey back on side before then having to, like, look at himself in the mirror and be like, maybe I should be on that side, and all that kind of stuff being up in the air, yet more brilliant enhancement of the Roman Reigns character.
Yeah, I love this. I have to say that the "I'm nobody's bitch" line was a genuine pop for me on Saturday morning. And yeah, so excited. Not only that, of course, the return of the SmackDown fist, so they can take that one.
Oh, let's have a minute on that, please. Because, like, I couldn't be here to preview with you. And Christ, imagine how daft we'd have gotten. What are they going to bring back tonight? Like, with the answer being nothing. Like, I love that. Obviously, WWE were told to do a retro night because of the retro stuff on Fox. This wasn't your traditional fly in the old RAW letters, you know, like, bring in as many legends as you can. This was properly a week to go. We're doing vintage NASCAR, so get your old giant out with you. And they're thinking, oh, well, if you're going to be like that, then we'll tank it. We'll absolutely tank it. A SmackDown, apparently, from 1989, 10 years before SmackDown debuted. Teddy Long, like the human meme that he is now. They just fly him dangerously across America to say tag team match and The Undertaker. That was about it, wasn't it? Have I missed it? And Robo Fist. Have I missed anything else?
Pat McAfee dressing up as Vince McMahon and then get that getting cut.
Yeah, that good on Twitter. those sad little old block logo curtains on the Thunderdome set. Tragic little WWF logos of a time that SmackDown didn't even exist in.
Yeah.
Good. Really good.
But yeah, in terms of Jimmy Uso, like you say, I love this. And I'm more and more convincing myself that this may actually play into the title match on Sunday. Maybe because I'm desperate for something to look forward to on Sunday. But yeah, this rift, like you say, of a conflicted, or more conflicted Jey Uso now, but also Jimmy Uso, like you say, deciding, you know, on which side of history he's going to, you know, end up on, basically, is just fascinating. And yeah, for family squabbles, which we've rolled our eyes at for so long with WWE, I think this is really, really good stuff. And it'll obviously continue tonight. And my word, I realized that it was, you know, just a kind of toss a coin and see who stands tall at the end of this episode. But Cesaro standing tall after handing everyone their arse made me think, maybe they do actually realize what they've got on their hands after 10 years or whatever it is with Cesaro.
Yeah, I got... it's funny that, you know, Daniel Bryan has been so linked to this run for Cesaro, and indeed Roman Reigns and the last month of television and everything, and now he's gone. I got major Daniel Bryan battling back the Shield in 2013 energy off this, because he isn't the guy that you expect to stand tall at the end of this. And the Usos as the kind of, and not yet, it doesn't have to be right now, but that feeling that you want to summon up where one day the Usos, you know, because Jimmy's probably going to fall in line for a bit. But Jey, as you say, has kind of had his head turned here by just a, you know, a reminder of 5 seconds of what the outside world looked like, basically, with Jimmy returning. It reminds me a lot of the latter days of the Shield working for the Authority, and the buzz that we all got when they finally turned on Triple H and like formalized their babyface turn for the first time is something you could replicate with the Usos and Roman Reigns. Watching like this angle play out, and then the likely ones to come with Roman as champion, where the Usos are unstoppable as his heavies, but then just gradually their faith in Roman as the head of the table starts to erode. That turn, especially in front of fans, which, you know, timeline-wise could work out.
Yeah.
That turn feels like it's going to be one of like the moments of the year. The Usos breaking away from Roman Reigns, which again, like all of this comes back to really fantastic character building of the head of the table character. Mm. They do so many things with this gimmick. It's not just the slow but brilliant sinister promo that he cuts at the start of most shows. It's not just the way in which he masks his cowardness. It's like cowardice in matches with the likes of Cesaro and Daniel Bryan. It's then how he delivers a Brock Lesnar beating in the matches themselves to kind of make you be like, oh, he actually can. He just doesn't really want to. That's what's happening with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
That the whole thing is like, right, if I must, straps his glove on and just cave somebody's face in. But he doesn't really like the idea of having to do that. So he tries to put wall after wall after wall up. It's like, I'm shocked even talking about this character with the texture that I believe it to have, considering that it's a WWE presentation. Really, I am. Like, I think this gets better and better.
Yeah, I can easily see over the next few weeks and months, like you say, cracks beginning to show, but in all likelihood, the Usos winning those tag team championships along the way. We're going to talk more about the SmackDown tag team title match, which is going down at WrestleMania Backlash on our big preview, which will come out tomorrow. But also, speaking of, you know, things that are enjoyable on SmackDown that are leading to the pay-per-view on Sunday, seems bad to say this, but nice to see Bayley laying a good beating on Bianca Belair last week.
Yes, there has been a criminal lack of actual action in the women's singles division. I have to say singles because the quality isn't good, but they are running tag matches most weeks. It's not been a great start to life for Bianca Belair as champion, but it's not been an awful one either. Bayley is the perfect opponent. As you say, we're going to detail that match a little bit more for Backlash. The story has lacked the charisma of both has massively made up for it. They have bought WWE some time to actually devise a feud, because there's not a tremendous issue between these two. It's just that Bayley, rightfully so, now believes she wants a shot. She's been away from that belt long enough. She doesn't particularly respect Bianca Belair, which I do like, and I wish they'd lent on a little bit more, because you could actually use the fact, and it's been forgotten, and I understand why, because so much of WWE is meaningless, but they should have used more that Bayley defeated Bianca Belair in Bianca's first SmackDown feud.
Yes.
Like, the words come out of my mouth, and I sound like a dweeb saying them, right? But this is how WWE should be able to use their fairly carefree like knockabout booking for a benefit. They knew Bianca Belair was going to win the Rumble, so they did that thing they do, where it's like, you've got a big winning coming up, so we're going to have you get beat first. That's just how we roll. So Bayley won that feud. People were quite surprised. Oh, that's a bit of a strange way to introduce Bianca Belair, but then she goes on to win the Rumble. Nobody cares. Why has that not come up now? Why is that not? You know, before you got on your big run, like, you were easy pickings. What makes you think you're not going to be easy pickings this Sunday? I'm the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion ever. This is my show.
I'm going to give WWE, for once, the benefit of the doubt of they've kept that ace in their back pocket so they can just go, oh, Bayley says she's challenging. She challenges. Whether, you know, she batters Bianca and then suddenly out of nowhere she hits the KOD and wins on Sunday, or whether it's, you know, just a back and forth match that Bianca Belair emerges victorious in, I think what we get next is Bayley going, right, well, you got lucky. Everyone gets lucky, but we're, you know, kind of squared up.
Yeah.
On a rematch. And Sasha comes out and goes, whoa, 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 whoa. I still don't have a rematch after WrestleMania. And then you've got a potentially show-stealing triple threat for, what, Money in the Bank? Is that next? Or I don't know when Extreme Rules is. Taking eyes out and stuff. I think that's afterwards. Yeah.
That's the one that might,
Yeah, that's the one that might have fans back in attendance, which, considering last year's Extreme Rules, probably won't sell out.
Imagine tanking the return of crowds with the horror show 12 months earlier. Like them running that show thinking, well, there's no consequences for us. Note, zero tickets sold.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, we have got a tag team title match tonight. I am always suspicious, though, when I go on WWE.com, it's barely mentioned. And even in the little 30-second video package, I don't think it was even given a nod that Nia and Shayna are going to defend those tag team titles against Natalya and Tamina, which feels like a match ready-made for WrestleMania Backlash.
It really does, doesn't it? My gut feeling when I saw this promoted for SmackDown was that it was going to run it back. I don't know if that... Well, I do know that, don't I? I was going to say, I don't know if that means we're not going to get a finish. Yes, I do. We're not going to get a finish. Like, if they want to put that on WrestleMania Backlash in 3 days, they're not going to give you a finish here. Reginald is insufferable. I might get involved. I like... This is that awful, patronising, hair-ruffling type of praise. I like how they've handled Tamina since WrestleMania. They noted that crowd reaction, odd as it was, but she got it. It was real. It definitely happened. And they've replayed that. They've made her look at the same level as Nia Jax. And think about the times that either when they were partners or they were rivals in Battle Royals, they tried to do like the Austin Rock standoff in Nia and Tamina. And like, I think that was mostly pre-pandemic, but you wouldn't realize it from the lack of noise. Like, what's the sound of 10,000 people shrugging? Because that was what you got whenever you did this sort of supposed standoff or you put them in front of a WrestleMania sign or whatever. I think they've got there. I think Tamina feels like Natalya's secret weapon almost in this team. If they're going to win these belts, it's going to be because of this. They obviously have only so much time to spend on Tamina versus Nia Jax because Nia Jax is in 18 storylines. So they've got to get to all the various other dovetailing ones, you know. And how are Shayna's legs? because I don't know the sell-by date of Lily's voodoo. So she could still be walking around like Vic and Bob doing a Cockney walk by SmackDown. And if that's the case, I'd say the titles are in great jeopardy. If it sounds like we're trivialising it, it's because we are. This is going to Sunday.
Yeah, I will say, lovely moment with Tamina at WrestleMania. Nice that they've recognised that. I don't think I've cared less about a title match in my history as a WWE fan. Because, I don't care about the tag champs. They're just unbearable. And they win and they lose, but they win only when the tag titles are on the line. Shayna Baszler gets jobbed out every single week, it seems. And Natalya and Tamina have been in that company for so long, and they've had so many you need to care about them now. See you in another 6 months sort of thing. I don't even know. I realise Natalya and Tamina, I suppose, are the baby faces in there, but my little memory of them is jumping people backstage weeks ago before WrestleMania or whatever it may be. And they haven't done that much aside from win a few matches to make me think, hey, you all right. So, honestly.
Hey, Wilbon. I'm going to make you look like James Ellsworth.
Honestly, I could not care less, but I agree. I think this is going to Sunday, and maybe I'll care more there. Maybe put Reginald in a shark cage or something, please.
Your sort of disinterest in that, I don't think is unjustified. Tamina as a character, and it's pretty much this character, right? So she debuted with the Usos in 2010, attacking on ironically enough, the Hart Dynasty. So Natalya had been there as Natalya, the Hart Dungeon graduate, for about 2 years by then, maybe a year. But she's about 12 years deep as this version of herself, Natalya, as a character. Think about the changes that the Usos have undergone since that debut. They were just tights wearing tag team when they debuted in 2010. They went deep into the play hard in the paint era. Pleather shorts, face paint, huge grandiose Samoan entrances, all that sort of stuff, into that heel turn on American Alpha. Uso Penitentiary.
Do you remember that?
Bars on the screen.
Yeah.
Wrestling, wearing grills. And now here we are. Proper chapters in this decade of the Usos. Tamina's been there the same amount of time. For a brief period, before, for obvious reasons, they kind of cut that out of the commentary, she was Tamina, the daughter of Jimmy Snuka.
Mm-hmm.
The daughter of Jimmy sounded like a middle portion of her name, rather than just Tamina Snuka. And then they got rid of the surname altogether. Has there really been any character advancement in Tamina? I don't think there has in 11 years. It's not her fault, really. She was Tamina as part of Team Bad. She's still Tamina. I don't know. AJ's bodyguard.
I was going to say AJ's heavy.
AJ Lee's bodyguard. That was pretty good. So that'll be the one. But outside of that, it's just been this Tamina for 11 years and a not very different Natalya for longer, for 12.
I do 22. Feel a bit bad for her. Imagine her sitting down watching Fight with My Family and going, I wonder who's... Zelina's obviously playing AJ, but I wonder who's going to be playing... I'm not in the segment whatsoever. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, just cut her out of the film. Yeah, so 23 cumulative years of characters in stasis. You are very permitted to not give a toss about them.
Yeah. Let's move on and let's talk about Seth Rollins, because I feel he could still be in and around the title picture going forward. But I was so happy, relieved more than happy that they didn't go, we'll give Seth Rollins his win back against Cesaro. Because I realize it wasn't Cesaro beat him again, but I'll take it. What's next for Seth for you?
I'm not sure yet. The Cesaro result was awesome because WWE know better than everybody, certainly WWE fans do. A push is not a push if you 50-50 it 3 weeks later. So you can't do the WrestleMania match, then just reverse the decision and then put Cesaro in a title match, being look, still, we're still pushing him. He's actually put one win on top of another and he's got he's actually got momentum and not in that cliched commentary way. He's built a series of results into his title match. So I was really, really pleased with that. I like this Seth Rollins character. Seth Rollins is getting less boring.
Yes.
That's what it is. I wouldn't say that he's electrifying as this heel currently. And if I'm honest, they've enjoyed the kind of like very partial pairing of Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, as they should. Like that's their right, is to sort of enjoy teasing it out and stretching it out. And you see them on screen, and I can't believe I'm going to say this. Like, I started wondering if they can get to babyface Seth versus heel Roman for SummerSlam.
Ooh.
And I don't want to like bring on the next apocalypse by pitching Seth Rollins as a babyface again. But I just, the fact that he's getting less, but he feels like he's getting a bit experimental. Have you noticed that? Like his dialogue, like obviously it started with the suits and that, but like the dialogue choices, and like he's weird on Twitter. That's never changed, but like he's in character weird rather than just like alienating his fan base weird. And he's just like, he's trying stuff, and it, some stuff doesn't stick. Some of it does. And I think ultimately a lot of that ends in him becoming a face, because some of that stuff, like one thing in particular, I don't know what that thing is yet, but some of the stuff's going to get popular. One of those things is going to get over. He's going to do something one week, something audacious or stupid or daft, and people are going to like latch onto it again. And they're going to see Seth Rollins as a believable threat to Roman because of all of their history. And that's kind of what I'm starting. Like, not now. Like I said, this isn't for now, but I just feel like it's for the near future.
Yeah, I'm thinking this. I'm thinking like, do you include him in another rematch that leads to a bloody triple threat at the next pay-per-view with Cesaro and Roman? I don't think you could. I don't think you need to. But then like, I was just thinking then, as a road to a babyface, why not just let him have like great match or series of matches with Big E? Big E defeat him, and then just the first simple step on the road to, you know, recovery is him just going, you know what, Big E, you were the better man, shakes his hand, and then just slowly transform. You got time. It's May now. You got till August.
I think so. He's just, like I say, like it could change again. He's a bugger for, he's one of those examples that like, WWE love him because obviously he'll do any of their promos or anything they say, and he'll try and apply some conviction to it, and it doesn't really always land. But he's just getting a bit weird, and I've got a bit of time for that. Less, I'm gonna like, it's very arm's length, very cautious, but yeah, less boring than ever Seth Rollins currently. So I'll keep watching.
Hey Seth, did you become less boring?
it's your favorite analogy, isn't it? Of like Meg and Family Guy. It's just Seth Rollins stood next to all of Monday Night Raw.
Seth Rollins stood next to all of Monday Night Raw, and the fact that they gave Baron Corbin another bloody win last week, and I was like,
are you not Baron?
Although, quick nod to Sami Zayn, forever the boy popper. The big five-man team celebrate their victory. All the baby faces are on the ramp, and they're jawjacking. Hey, you pricks. Sammy tries to grab the IC title.
that his reaction to the Teddy Long Undertaker news as well. We could do that. him trying to steal the belt from me. I love that. Like, I like the idea of Sami Zayn absorbing a Nigerian nail for his troubles at some point. But getting a little bit too cheeky with Apollo Crews.
Now, last week, we discovered this week that last week we were meant to see the debut of one Mia Yim, or I think this is right, Reggae! We're getting that tonight?
I hope not, for Mia Yim's sake. Bring her out as Mia Yim. For Christ's sake, bring her out as Mia Yim.
Yes.
Rarely has there been such an obvious retribution escape hatch than just to pretend it never happened. bring her, shadow perfect. Like, Mia Yim was not the most beloved figure in NXT, but she was... let me rephrase that. Mia Yim's matches weren't always the most celebrated, but Mia Yim was a very liked performer on NXT with a gimmick, with a character that made sense, that she evidently believed in. She was comfortable playing, and she had it in her to have these great matches. It just didn't necessarily happen all the time. I think the women's division on both shows is in such a dire need of talent that knows how to get themselves over that Mia Yim would be very welcome. As Reckoning, she's got an uphill battle. As usual, I'm going to use this platform that I don't deserve to say where is Slapjack. why wasn't he? Why wasn't Throwback SmackDown Slapjack SmackDown Fox Network? Do some Slapjack themed NASCAR so we can have a Slapjack special of SmackDown. we can finally call it Jackdown. Like, where's he? but yeah, she's got a chance if she's near him. She really does, because this division feels barren. We talked on the bit of a spoiler for the WrestleMania Backlash preview, but we talked about like Carmella as one of the only real single standouts that doesn't feel completely lost. Mia Yim would be a welcome ingredient to that very, very drab mix at present.
Yeah, I agree. I think you know, maybe Carmella's being set up as a challenger for Bianca Belair at a B show on the road to SummerSlam, but in the interim, or instead of that, like you say, her and Mia Yim could be a great starting point for her.
Do you know what? Use your talent as well. She doesn't have to come back right now. She's obviously selling the emotional impact and the physical impact of a WrestleMania loss, but like, have more than one feud again. So Mia Yim versus Sasha Banks as a program.
A huge
first win for Mia Yim as Sasha Banks struggles to find a groove back, and them wrestling together, and how great Sasha Banks will be able to make Mia Yim look. Like, make this a division again, because it's a bit embarrassing at the moment.
Well, an exciting go-home episode of SmackDown to look forward to ahead of WrestleMania Backlash this weekend, of course. Let us know your thoughts on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. As we mentioned, that WrestleMania Backlash preview will be out tomorrow, as well, of course, the SmackDown review with Phil and Gareth. But for now, this has been the SmackDown preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.